you. Thank you for asking me. Actually, I came here in style tonight, remote. I was just at the car. I was going to the meeting on 5th Avenue, you know, near Place des Arts. And I'm thank Captain, this guy went into my car, you know. But I'm okay, I'm sober. Sober today, thanks to a... And these days I'm working on my gratitude. I work on my gratitude every day because it's easy to forget where I come from. And what he did for me. I also just came out of an intensive weekend. We spent 3 days on Ile Saint Bernard there with people that have the same sickness as me, and it's wonderful, you know. I'll take you where I come from. I was born in Quebec City of a big family. They had 7 brothers and 3 sisters. I had a sister, but I never knew them because they had passed away, like, you know, so. But my sister didn't have my problem. And anyway, even if they had, that wouldn't have made any difference, you know, because I did exactly as I had wanted, when I wanted. I started to drink very, very young. Because as a child, I was a liar, a cheat, and you name it, you know. And when I was 15 years old, I decided to go to the force, you know, because in those days it was very popular, and those nice uniforms, you know. They looked pretty good to me when I was 15. So I had gone and I went with my brother that a few years older than me. We joined the Navy. And I was scared to get cut because one of my brother was in the Navy for a long, long time. And I'm so stupid, you know. I think my brother is going to be checking on me. As if he would have nothing else to do, you know. And I think that might be really important then, eh? So I figured, what am I going to do now? You know, I'm afraid to get cut. So I went to the Air Force. And I registered there too, you know. But they asked me for my birth certificate. That wasn't so funny, because you're supposed to be 18, you know. So, I went to see the priest. Oh yeah, I went into my mother's paper and took my birth certificate, you know, and I had to change. And in those days, they didn't have an ink remover like today. I took Javix, you know. I made a hole in the paper, so I had to make it look worse, you know. And I was preparing myself for that moment, you know, to lie a little more. And I went to see the priest, and I told him that I need a new birth certificate, you know. Because he says, sit down. So he comes back, he says, young lady, you're not 18 years old. It seemed a long time that he was gone, but just because I was nervous and I wasn't in the service yet, you know. So when he came back, you know, he says, can you type? I said, oh, yes, you know. I can type. Well, he says, I'm going to give you one of those sheet, but don't ever say, oh, give me that. Don't ever get me in trouble. But I must have lied, told him all kinds of lies, you know, for him to give me that paper, you know. Anyway, he gave me the paper, and I went home and practiced another paper because I wasn't getting another paper, you know. So I did that, you know. And I didn't sign his name, I signed another priest's name. I wanted to keep my promise to him, you know. I didn't, because I thought he's so nice to give me that. On my brother's day, when I told him I was good, they had joined the Air Force, you know, and then they called me that I could go in. They give you a small test, you know, it wasn't a hard test because I wouldn't have passed it, you know. It must have been really easy. When my mother found out she had double skin, it was just awful, you know. So I could hear my brother, you know, say, this is, let her go. They'll teach her how to pick up her clothes. It'll teach her a few things, you know. She'll be back before you know it. I heard them. On my false Friday, I'm going to show them a thing or two. I'm not coming back. I'm going to go there and make a career in the Air Force, you know. So, I got into a lot of duty watch because, you know, I did exactly as I please, tried to do exactly as I please, as I did before. And they have a few regulations that you must follow. Anyway, I passed that. And every day for 10 days, they give you medical also, you know, to see if you're okay. They give you, to see if you're fit, you know, to stay in the, but you have to tell them the year you're born, the day, and that happens every day. Every time you're going to those tests, you know. And I brainwashed myself, eh? I must not make a mistake when they ask me the date when I'm born and the year, you know. You know that even today I'm mixed up about that. I did such a good job on myself. I almost believed it. I won't take you to all the years that I went in the Air Force, but I'll take you to the first time that I had drink. A friend, she says, do you want to go for a walk with this fellow? You know, we'll go for a walk with them. I said, sure, you know. The only thing I remember about that walk, that they had a 20 ounces of rye. But I don't remember if I took one drink, two drinks. The only thing I remember, I woke up in a hospital. I was ashamed, eh? I thought, oh, everybody's going to know. But I also, because I'm an alcoholic, and I was an alcoholic, my thinking was alcoholic, I wanted to learn how to drink. Other kids are 15 years old, you know, they don't want to make their career of drinking. But to me it was so important. I thought I'll start slowly. But the second time I drank again, I really, really got sick. I forgot to be slowly, slowly. I'm learning to drink. But I still had that in mind, you know. I want to learn, you know. So the second time I drank again, there were, I came home and in those days it was the, it was in style, we used to go to the midnight show at New Year's. And we had a bottle of sobo gin. And it was hot in that theater, you know. And we drank the slow gin. Then we met a lady. And she must have been drunk, you know, she says to me, because I had my uniform on. I wanted to show off, eh? And she said, just like the girl on the calendar, you know. She took us to her place and she served us some wine. St. John's wine. In a glass like this. I had a few. Oh, geez. When I did get home, you know, my mother said, where are you from at 4 o'clock in the morning? The midnight show, you know. And talk about sick. Just awful. And, but my mother thought this was just one time, you know. She hadn't seen me the first time, you know, how I got sick and I wound up in the hospital. Because I was sneaky, you know. I didn't tell her about those things, you know. I wasn't opening up with my mother, you know. This time she figured, oh, the poor kid, you know. She shouldn't have, you know. They probably gave her a drink, you know, without her knowing, you know. But I knew I was taking those drinks, that poor kid, you know. So, anyway, that went on. And, but I, when you're in the Air Force, you're supposed to get either Christmas or New Year's, you know. And I took Christmas and New Year's. I used to go and see a doctor, tell him that how sick I was, you know, with the whole, I was a bugger to get things, you know, all screwed up, you know, but the way I wanted. I always got what I wanted. Because I was a liar, you know, and people believe you, honest people believe liars like me, you know. So, anyway, and I always used to be home for Christmas and New Year's, and you're not supposed to. Then when I went back, I started to try to be careful. I drank beer slowly, slowly, and applied myself, you know. And I applied myself for many, many, many years. But nobody ever gave me a diploma for my career. I was there a long time drinking. I learned to bring people under the table, you know. That was my basic, you know, to learn how to drink and not to pass out. And I used to think, I'm not an alcoholic, I never pass out. I'd be sick like hell, but wouldn't admit it. Would never say to anybody. The false pride was so, so high. What a mix-up, you know. And nobody did that to me. I did it to myself. I calmed myself because I was a liar. And it got me into all kinds of trouble, you know, when you drink and you think you're that smart, it gets you to to left a place that you don't want to be, but you're there. But I never thought it, because I'm drinking. So it took me for a career of about 35 years of drinking. That's a long time. It's years that don't come back. It's a waste of energy, health, and everything. And I'm pretty damn lucky, you know, that I am as healthy as I am today. Because it's abusing of yourself when you do that, and that's not God's plan. Because God didn't make any garbage, you know, but I picked it up on my way. Thought I was smart. To tell you the truth, I paid a big price to get here. But I appreciate being here now. I work on my gratitude. You know, and I'm working now on my way of living. It's not just the drinking. Why did I drink? I drank because I was a liar, a cheat, and I didn't like to do the things the right way. Start at the beginning like other people. I rather cheat, you know. Do things my way. But I had to change. And this program, if I wanted to become sober, not dry. I mean sober. I have to work on myself. And I have to recognize and know myself. Because I cannot fix what I don't know. And you people have helped me. And it's with the people that pray for you. And are there for you. And listen. And have the compassion to work with people like me. And this journey has been very, very good to me. I've been here a few, 24 hours, and I know I have lots of work to do yet. And I say to my higher power, thank you for bringing me to these rooms. And I don't just say I appreciate these rooms. I do my best in these rooms and outside of these rooms. That's what you people have taught me, you know. It's if I wanted to change and grow and make my higher power happy, then I'm trying to change. Because I know the difference. Because you people have taught me the difference. You have taught me how to live. And taught me about humility. Taught me all these things. How it works. Admitted we're powerless over alcohol. It was easy for me to say I'm powerless over alcohol, but to feel it in my guts, you know, and accept it, it's quite a difference. It took me quite some time, because this thing of false pride was eating me up, you know. Maybe, yeah, you know, just the head. So really I pray for this part. And the insanity, had to recognize my insanity. Because when I came here, I didn't know how insane I was. And slowly, you know, as people were teaching me, and I was watching what they were doing, and tried to learn something, and I made a decision to turn my life over to the care of God instead of running the show myself was what a difference. I don't have to run the show at all. At all, at all, at all. If I do what you're teaching me. And they told me, if you want to stay sober, made a searching, fearless inventory of yourself. I had to do that. That's how I got to know myself. Because before I just, you know, I would turn the page very, very fast. But I wanted to stay sober, had to do that. And nobody pushed me to do it. They says, when you're ready. When God's ready for you, you'll know. Handed it to God and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. Well, God already knew, but I had to share it with another person. And that helped me to remember where I come from. And I'm totally ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That took a bit more, you know, time. Some of my defects of character are not as bad as they used to be. And but I had to recognize them before I have to have them removed. And I have to get humble. That's one thing that I didn't know. How much few people taught me. To be humble, that's the only way that God likes if you're humble. You're not in the driver's seat. And people have reminded me often, you know. Nicely, you know, they didn't tell me you're making a mistake or anything. But I had to learn. And I'm glad that I didn't learn too fast. Maybe I would have forgot it. I made a list of all the person you have harmed and be willing to make amends to them all. This I did, and I'm very, very, very happy. There's people I don't know where they are, but I'd be very willing to make amends to them. But the people, I've been very, very, very lucky. The people I have made amends to, they were very good, you know. Not everybody's that lucky. I thank my higher power for that. And continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admit it. I have to do that. I don't do that just at night. I do that sometime during the day. Because if I wait till at night, I can fall asleep on it, you know, which is not that good, you know, for me. Everybody's different, you know. Because at night I'm a bit, because I'm an early bird, so I don't last all day and all night. Sought through prayer and meditation of my conscious contact with God as I understand Him. One of the things that this step has helped me so much, you know, I don't have to get confused about somebody else's God anymore. Big relief for me. Because I know it's just one God, and everybody has their way of praying. They can pray with a veil or in them. I feel good with that. I feel better when people pray the way they want, the way that it's good for them, and they tell us in this book, you know, that's the way that it's supposed to be. And meditation, every morning I do my meditation. And it gives me time to think of the people that need us, because to give back what people have given me free. It's a free gift that there's no other place but this program has to offer. And it can offer that to people that have cancer, anybody. Not everybody is that lucky to have a new way of life if you are willing to do it. And I'm telling you, like tonight, you know, when the guy asked me, "Are you okay?" Everybody was so nice. "Are you okay?" I was okay. God's on my side. I'm not hurt. Somebody helped me. It's just a car. Even the guy that, and he drove me here, drove me all over, and he took me here on time, you know. Okay, so that proves me that God's working for me. Because I don't like to disappoint my friend. Because my friend in AA means a lot to me. And when we go back to many 24 hours, you know. And I don't want to be the one that let one of my friends in AA down. Because you have taught me those things. To keep my word. Because it's important that I keep my word. It makes my higher power happy. And I also know that these rooms don't run by themselves. I have to do my share. You know? My share to do. And one time I was with Larry Leo. We had gone to see it in McCaffrey, you know? And we met this old guy, you know, in the hospital. He didn't know me, but he knew Larry Leo, you know? And he kept on saying, I didn't drink today. He had Alzheimer's, but damn it, he hadn't drank today. You know? So that's something, eh? You know, something he had learned in his room. And that is wonderful, you know? And he had a big smile on his face, you know? And at the retreat there, I says, the girl, when we came in, I says, all the girls that have smiled, we all belong to. Hey, you know, we have smile on our face. Because we're not hungover. You know? And with God on our side, we can do anything. Anything. First of all, we think better. And we can let the nonsense, you know? And when people ask us things that we're not sure, we ask it, you know? Do you need the answer right away? Instead of saying yes when you mean you're not, or you mean no. Can I, you know? It's not like you're booking for a airplane ticket, you know? Can I think about it? Even for a airplane ticket, I like to learn about it. Before, I would always say yes, and then I'd be sorry. I used to hate myself for it, you know? Because now if I'm not sure, I says, may I, and if they cannot wait for my answer, that's okay with me, you know. And the things that I have learned are here. And what keeps me here, because I still have lots to learn. And I wish everybody another 24 hours and many more. And There's no other place in these rooms that God really, really is happy with us. Even the people that are having a hard time, we have to be there for them. Because we're not judge, we're not doctors, we don't know what's going between that 2 years, and we have to be there for them. Because they were there for me with my nonsense when I came in. And I hope to remember and be grateful. Thank you.